Welcome to the Teaching Journeys podcast, hosted by Dave Roberts. Humanity possesses a unique skill, the ability to pass knowledge from one generation to the next. This podcast embraces that ability, offering learning opportunities through conversations with extraordinary guests. Dave aims to leave a positive mark on individuals around the world. So before you dive into today's episode, please share this podcast with your network, including friends, family, and colleagues. And please consider leaving a rating or review. Your support makes all the difference.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Teaching Journeys podcast. I'm your host, Dave Roberts. And today it is my absolute pleasure to have as my guest, Portia Booker. Portia Booker, often hailed as Portia the Producer, is a celebrated TV host, visionary producer, and a resolute grief awareness advocate. After enduring the profound loss of both parents within a heart-wrenching nine-month span, Portia uncovered hidden treasures in her pain, with gratitude shining brightest. Now she's leading the charge to redefine societal views on grief through her transformative TV show, The Grief Grantor, airing Sundays on E360 TV, reaching an impressive 800,000 homes. This isn't her maiden voyage into broadcasting. Many recall her popular radio show, Groove with Portia, which aired on WOVU from 2019 to 2022. Her media journey began at Cayuga Community College, leading the Voice newspaper and earning accolades for her hardcore news coverage. At Kent State University, she honed her craft in TV and radio, contributing significantly to TV2 and Black Squirrel Radio. A pivotal internship with PBS NewsHour during the Republican National Convention allowed her to work alongside journalism greats Judy Woodruff and Gwen Ifill. Her early professional strides included producing gripping news segments for NBC. Further showcasing her versatility, Portia penned her deeply personal audiobook, Finding Grace Within Grief, Her Transition, My Transformation, a testament to finding light in the darkest of times. Alongside hosting her riveting show, she curates podcasts, crafts TV segments, devises media strategies, and immortalizes memories of departed souls with her unique legacy pieces. And somewhere in all of this, she's probably finding some time to sleep. Away from the spotlight, Portia rejuvenates by watersides, gets lost in captivating podcasts or audiobooks, explores new horizons on road trips, and cherishes every moment with her steadfast furry companion, Mr. Fletcher Blaze. With a compassionate heart and an unyielding spirit, Portia continues to inspire, connect, and heal through the power of her voice and experiences. And I'm sorry, I believe I totally mispronounced the name of your community college.
It's pronounced Cuyahoga, like the Cuyahoga River. So,
well, good. I'm glad we cleared that up because I really don't like butchering names of community colleges, being that I'm a professor at a university myself. But anyway, Portia, welcome to the Teaching Journeys podcast. I've been so excited to have you here today.
Dave, I'm honored, first and foremost. Thank you so much for reading my entire bio. You know, I'm sitting here, I'm like, dang, I'm done all that stuff. Like, even in my brain, Dave, it doesn't always add up all the amounts of different experiences I've had in my journey in the last 7 years. Because, you know, grief changes you. Grief sometimes makes you lose a sense of time. Like, I commented on one of my friend's posts the other day about grief. And I said, grief is similar to being in a snow globe because the time looks unique to you as the griever, but to the outside world, it's still the same. It's still, everybody else is still celebrating. Everybody else is still going to work while your time has stopped. Yeah. So I'm truly honored to be here, Dave.
And I'm truly honored to have you. Just a little background in terms of how Portia and I met. It was kind of an organic thing. I had listened to an interview that she had done with a good friend of ours, Tony Lynch, for his Grief Let's Talk About It podcast. And as I was listening to Portia talk, I realized we aligned on so many different things. Childhood experiences, the way that we see the moment of physical death. And I just had this nudge, and I'm going to say it was a nudge from beyond, saying, you've got to contact her. So I reached out to her, told her how much I aligned with a lot of her grief journey. And one thing led to another. I ended up being a guest on her great TV show, The Grief Grand Tour. And she's kindly reciprocated to be on my podcast. So that's how we got to this point.
Well, that's how it happens, Dave. It's kind of like, I love to call it the banana peel in the street effect, right? You're walking and you slip on a banana peel and you hit the rock bottom and you're like, oh, it's like the light bulb goes off type of thing, right? Like, you're like, I need to connect with this person. Finally, somebody else who sees an idea or a concept in the same way that I see it. So everything happens in the right time.
And as I've progressed on this journey of loss following the transition of my own daughter, Janine, over 21 years ago, coincidence is no longer in my vocabulary. And I'm convinced that the people who come into my life are destined to come in at the exact time they're supposed to come in, for however long that is. So, and you're one of them. So, and I am proud to count you as part of that circle.
Same here, Dave. I mean, I never would have believed, Dave, in losing both of my parents, their transition would birth a new transformation of family and community, because grief is a universal experience, but also a personal journey. But yet it's like there's this unique language when you've experienced a profound transition, such as a child, a parent, whatever it is that earthquakes your whole system, your whole soul into multiple pieces. It's like there's other people out there who can see that you're kind of trying to pick up those puzzle pieces and put them back together, and they're able to meet you with so much love, compassion. I haven't met one person online who's told me, I can't make space for you. Every person who has experienced loss that I've connected with on Instagram, on LinkedIn, they're like, tell me about your person. Tell me about your mom. Tell me about your father. Tell me about your journey. They're so open. And I'm glad that I can be that same person for them as well. So it's truly amazing, Dave, like what's happened for me through my transitions of my parents.
Yeah, and it is. And when I think we first experience our losses, and I think tragedy can be defined in any type of loss. Whatever is our worst tragedy is where we as grief support specialists, as therapists, we need to meet the person at their worst tragedy. Even if we haven't experienced the same loss, we've experienced that same profound pain. Tell our listeners about your parents. I know those were two very significant losses for you. I like our listeners to get the story behind the individuals whom we've lost so that we can get to know them through your eyes. So if you would, Portia, the floor is yours.
Well, I appreciate it, Dave. You know, both of my parents, God rest their souls, this year is the first year that we are honoring my father's transition, and this is year two for my mom. So I'm going to start with my mom, because my mom was my buddy. My mom's her name is Sharon. Sharon Lopez is my mom. And one thing that always comes to my mind when I think about my mom, Dave, is this perseverance that she had. My mom, through all the things that she went through, she was able to persevere through any and everything. The other thing that I loved about my mom is that she was very tough on me. I mean, I got to admit, I said it on Tony's show, my mom was tough as nails and she kept her foot up my butt. I mean, literally, she did, because she was military. And I'm forever grateful for her doing that, because one of the things that she always said to me growing up was, get your own stuff, in a nice word, get your own stuff, meaning she was teaching me to be independent. Don't depend on other people to save you, because you have to be your own life jacket in this world. The other thing I loved about my mom is that she always gave people her attention. She had a motto that said, everybody has the ability to learn. My mom was an educator for 13 years in Cleveland Municipal School District, and she taught special education. And she always said, everybody has the ability to learn. And so my mom always gave from her heart. She gave people her time. She always made everybody feel welcomed in her presence. And, you know, my mom wanted 10 kids. Some people don't know this, but my mom wanted 10 kids, but she only got two. And so I laugh now because I'm like, well, all her other kids, if you want to call it, were in her classroom. And so, Dave, I want to take a minute to talk about kind of her transition day, too, because her transition day was truly powerful. I remember the day before. So my mom transitioned on 7/7/22 at 10:10 p.m. And I remember the day before her transition, so July 6th, I was sitting in my kitchen and I was listening to Jessica Simpson's book, Open Book. And one of the things that she had said at the end of that book was, it's through our toughest moments where we find our greatest strength. And I don't know why, Dave, that spoke to me so heavy, that particular verse in that book. And I just remember I was crying that whole day. And I remember talking to my mom. My mom was in the hospital at that time. And she said to me on the phone later on that day, she's like, Portia, I can't go another night like I had. Because my mom, just to back up, my mom had an interstitial lung condition that was progressive. And so because of that, her lungs were essentially failing. So she was always on oxygen. We had two oxygen concentrators in this house. So literally she was probably on a good 18 to 27 liters of oxygen a day that she was on. And so really she was kind of drowning every single day because of the fluid buildup in her lungs. And I knew when she said that to me, Dave, that she didn't want to tell me that she was leaving. She didn't want to directly tell me, but I knew intuitively. And so the very next day, July 7th, I woke up and I got a phone call from the hospital and they said, Portia, your mom's oxygen won't go above 70 and we're going to need you to come up and make a decision. And Dave, I don't know, when I think about it now, it's like I went immediately into this level of autopilot, as though all the steps of what I needed to do just instinctively were given to me. And so I said to the hospital staff, I said, okay, I'll be up there because we live 5 minutes or so from the hospital. So I get up, take Mr. Fletcher out for P o'clock, put him away. Then I get in my car, go up to the hospital. And as I'm driving up to the hospital, I said a prayer. I said, God, if it's my mom's day to go, I surrender her to you, but keep me one promise. Let her go peacefully. Because my mom at that time, Dave, was, because of her oxygen condition, her lung condition, she was too afraid to sleep at night. And I knew that her transition, I wanted it to be peaceful as possible because of what I knew about her being, you know, afraid to sleep at night and that. So I get up to the hospital and I'm telling you, just when I think about it now, I'm so grateful that I was comforted the entire time. Like, I want to write a short story about the three angels that came to my aid during my mom's transition day. So I get up there and as I'm walking to my mom's, you know, room, my primary care doctor meets me in the hallway and I'm telling her everything what's going on. And she's like, Portia, she gives me a hug. She said, Portia, you call me if you need me, I'm here. And what I love about meeting with her, Dave, is the fact that she met me with a human approach, not from a clinician standpoint. Like, yeah, even though I'm her patient, but she met me as a human that day. So I get upstairs to my mom's room. My mom, you know, she's telling me, Portia, I'm tired. Portia, I'm tired. I said, okay. I'm like, this is what we need to do. So I went out in the hallway and I called all of my family and I said, listen, everybody, I need all of you to come up to the hospital today because this might be the last time that you spend time with your aunt. And I'm fighting back the tears a little bit, but it's okay. And I told, you know, all of them, I said, just come up, spend time with her. And the one thing, Dave, that I'm forever grateful for is that my family showed up. We're a small family. We're not super big, but my family showed up in droves. Like when I tell you they showed up in droves, they showed up in droves from, you know, family, friends who I've known for years that have watched me grow up. They came. We got my mom to sing. We got her to laugh. We got her to dance. And there was a very profound moment on the day of my mom's transition that I'll always remember. It was an hour before my mom transitioned. It was just me and her in the room. And me and her were talking. This was right when she opted for the morphine drip. And I was not a fan of it, but I said, you know what? I'm going to support my mom's journey because this is what she wanted. And right before she did that, me and her were talking and I said, it's just something in my head just said, Portia, record this. Portia, record this. So I recorded the last conversation I had with my mom and I told her, I said, Mommy, thank you for being my cheerleader. Thank you for always encouraging me when I couldn't encourage myself. Thank you for giving me life. And I wouldn't want to call anybody else my mother but you. I'll never forget it. She said, well, thank you, darling. You've been one heck of an advocate for me. I love you always and forever. And so after our little conversation that we had, she opted for the morphine drip. And it didn't take too long, Dave. Like it seemed like it was maybe an hour or so that went by before she actually transitioned. And it was the coolest thing. Like we talk about the birth of people, right? We don't talk about the transition. There's just something so out of this world that happens. And my mom knew I loved sunsets. And my mom actually had the corner room in the hospital. And I remember, Dave, the sunset that day on her transition day had every color in the rainbow you can think of. It looked like something in a movie. It was that distinct. And I remember just sitting there in the room and I could see like her heart slowly stopping because it was only me and my aunt in the room at the time. And I could see it. And I'm like, oh, this is interesting. Because they had turned all the monitors off. We asked them to turn them off. And I remember when her heart finally stopped, it was just this eerie quietness in the room. But then all of a sudden, the room heated up for me. It just heated up. And I saw my mom's spirit come out of her body. And she waved to me. She blew me a kiss and out she went. Now, mind you, my aunt is in the room too. It's just me and her. My aunt is on my mom's left side crying. And me, I'm sitting there. I'm like, nobody else is seeing this but me. And so I made the phone call. The nurse comes in. She checks, you know, her pulse and everything like that and, you know, pronounces she had transitioned. And I just think it's so interesting that my mom transitioned on such a numerical day, 7/7/22 at 10:10 p.m. And I just remember just feeling this. The whole numbness didn't settle in just yet, Dave, until probably like at least a week later, because, you know, you're still kind of in that shock phase. But I remember when we went home, we took all our stuff home. And I remember the very next day, Dave, when I went out on the porch and the sky was the same color pink as my mom's robe that she wore in the hospital. And I knew, I said, wow. Well, then 3 days later, there was a monarch butterfly that was flying in the front yard. And I said, okay. And so I've received numerous signs, Dave, from my mom since her transition. I've seen her twice. No, three times. I've seen her three times in dreams since her transition. So my mom definitely, that was my buddy. That was definitely my buddy. And I know she's still lingering around. Like I get, you know, sometimes she'll be around or I see people, right? Like I meet people with her similar name or something similar to her. And it's just sometimes amazing how that happens. Now with my dad was a little different. So for your audience, me and my father didn't have the greatest relationship growing up. My father and my mom divorced when I was like 3, but my dad always came around. He always made sure to make an appearance for holidays and birthdays. So I always knew who he was. And I remember at the time when my father had gotten really sick, we weren't somewhat on speaking terms, but there was something that hit me, Dave. Like after my mom transitioned, I said, wow, I only have one parent left. And, you know, I know me and him are not on the best of terms, but I want to make this right. I want to really change the dynamic between me and him. And there was kind of some familial drama that occurred, which was preventing me from being able to see my dad. Because at that time, his Alzheimer's dementia got really bad and he was staying with, you know, a caregiver, and it was just a lot. Well, I just remember, Dave, one day I said, you know, I said, God, I'm like, if it's meant to be, if it's meant to be, I want to be able to have a conversation with my dad and forgive him for all the things that he couldn't do. Because when I look at it now, I'm grateful for how he showed up in the world. His absence taught me how to be present. And I remember, Dave, it was December of 22. It was December 14th, 2022. I was sitting at home, wasn't having the best day. I just wasn't having a good day, thinking about my mom. We're close to Christmas. It was right after my birthday. And I remember my cousin called me on Facebook Messenger, and I didn't want to answer the phone because I'm like, I'm not in the best mood to really talk to anybody. But just something told me to answer it. So I answer the phone. He's like, hey, Portia, I'm in the neighborhood. Can I come by? And I'm like, okay, sure. Come by. Fine. So he comes by and I said, you know, I really want to like see my dad. I'm like, do you know where he's at? He's like, oh yeah, here's the address. He gave me the address to go see my dad. So I cleared my whole calendar that day to go see him. So what's funny is my dad was a musician, a very prominent, well-known DJ here in the city of Cleveland. And my father's stage name was Butterfly. And so I kind of make that day known as kind of like seeing a butterfly in December, because he was my butterfly in December. And a few years before that day, on December 14th, 2020, I was featured on a billboard on the same street where my father was. So it's kind of interesting, the parallels of how things make a full circle. So I go visit my dad. He gives me a hug. You know, we talk. And of course, my dad says all these little corny jokes like he always does. And I'm an even mixture, Dave, of both of my parents. So it's kind of funny because I can laugh at my dad's humor because it's similar to mine. And just that day, I felt so much gratitude to be able to sit with him, even though his memory wasn't the best, but he remembered who I was. And so I remember, you know, he had went into the hospital maybe a month or two after that. And again, his health was declining still, you know, with his Alzheimer's, dementia, his high blood pressure, that whole thing. And I said, you know, I'm like, God, just keep him safe, you know, keep him safe, be with him. And I remember, Dave, his transition day, like it was yesterday. Like I said, we're on the first year of his transition. I remember it like it was yesterday. It was April 15th of 2023 is when my dad transitioned. And I remember that day. It was a beautiful day. Beautiful day. I was doing a speaking engagement for several different places around the world with this mental health agency. So I had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, my time, to be able to speak in Africa, Canada, Los Angeles, different places around the world because of the time zone thing, right? And I was just, you know, in this just exuberant mood, like, oh my God, this is such a high point in my career, being able to do what I love. And just all that day, Dave, I didn't feel right. Just something in me, and I hadn't talked to my dad that week. Just something told me I was going to talk, you know, I'd call him later on or whatever. And I just went on about my day. You know, and then one of my good friends had invited me to be a part of her anthology. She does this prayer journal every year. Well, Dave, who would have thought that the prayer journal that she invited me to be a part of and write a prayer for, that I would need that prayer later on that day? And right when I typed on my keyboard, I hit the period. I get a phone call from the hospital and they're like, is this Portia? I said, yes, this is. And they said, are you Charles's Booker's daughter? And I said, yes. And they're like, he came into the hospital unresponsive. Are you able to come up to the hospital? And I said, sure. Now, I used to work in healthcare. So I knew that lingo right off the bat that he was already gone. I knew that. And so I get up to the hospital, you know, the doctor, very sweet, very nice. He, you know, told me kind of what happened, that he collapsed while he was getting dressed and, you know, that they tried to do, you know, resuscitate him and everything like that. But they, you know, to no avail, they weren't able to. And, you know, I cried in the room. I cried. The nurse was very sweet. They, you know, hugged me and everything. And they asked me, like, do you want a minute? Did you want to go see him? I said, no, I can see him. I said, let me go see him. So I go in his room, Dave. It's, you know, quiet. Hospitals, you know, are very quiet a lot of times, depending on, you know. So I go in there and I touch him. And believe it or not, Dave, his body was still warm. So I knew it wasn't too long before he transitioned, you know. And so while I was in the room with him, I said a prayer for him that, you know, he was able to get there peacefully wherever he's at, and that, you know, he's happy, you know, that he's able to let go of some of the guilt and shame that he might have had throughout his journey, his life here. And so in the room, I took a moment to play one of my favorite songs by Luther Vandross, Dance With My Father. I played that song while I was sitting there with him. And both of my parents are funny. My dad was very big on going to the casino, gambling, that whole thing. And so I made the joke when my brother and my oldest brother came. I said, so does anybody find it funny that the man who talked about money dies on tax day? And of course, like, I've already been through the rodeo of losing somebody already. So for me, it's like, I'm going to find humor in everything now. And it was interesting, Dave. My father's celebration of life was truly beautiful, because I did the reflection on my dad's celebration of life day. And I remember I said a prayer to my mom and dad. I said, Mommy, Daddy, what do I say to our family? What do I say to everybody now that both of you have transitioned? So my mom was a school teacher. You know, I mentioned that. And you know how when we're in school, Dave, we all want to get straight A's and, you know, be the star of the class. My mom gave me two F's in the dream. Two F's. Focus and forgiveness were the two words she gave me. So I said, okay, I'll work with this. So when I did my father's reflection, I asked everybody who was present for his celebration of life, where is our focus today? Is our focus on the fact that we've lost our brother, our uncle, our friend? Or is our focus on what truly matters today? Are we going to choose to die in the casket with the person who's here? Or are we going to choose to take what we've learned from them and apply it and keep their legacy going? And so it was definitely a beautiful celebration of life that we did for my dad. And even with him, 2 weeks after his celebration of life, there was a black butterfly that flew, you know, into my world, and, you know, it ended up passing away in my yard, but I kept it. I put it in a frame, and, you know, so I get signs from both of my parents. And I forgot to bring this up too. On my dad's transition day, I got to the funeral home before everybody else. I went an hour before. And as I was sitting in the room with him, I took a minute to write in my gratitude journal, and I dedicated the whole page to him. You know, made sure that, you know, I covered what I learned from him, that I was grateful for his time here, what he taught me, and that, you know, his memory will never be forgotten.
Wow, as I was sitting here listening to you talking about both your parents, there's so much that was going through my mind. Just first, if I could backtrack with your mom. I was doing the math of her transition dates and the time of transition, and 7/7/22, if you add it up, it's 18. And if you add up 1 and 8, it's 9. 9 is about endings, and 10 or 1 is about beginnings. So I looked at, you know, her whole transition as evolving into a wise spiritual being in eternity. And the other thing is that you and many others have had something called a shared death experience, where you actually witnessed your mom's spirit leaving her body. And Raymond Moody and Paul Perry has done a lot of work with shared death experiences and individuals who have had them. And a lot of times, too, many of the surviving family members or one of them will walk with them, their spirit, as they to escort them to the other side. So that really just struck me. And the butterfly smile, because we talked about your dad, his nickname being Butterfly. And when you talked about the story about, you know, making amends with your dad, learning from the challenges of your mom's transition, that life's too short. Let's try to make peace where we can before there are regrets later. And again, I'm paraphrasing and you know, extrapolating a little bit. And when your mom came back as a butterfly, it was almost as if that butterfly was a portent for you to go see your human butterfly, your dad. I'm glad that happened. And by the way, my mother would have loved your mother. My mother was worked for Project Head Start. She raised me as a single parent. She was tough. She had morals. She loved everybody. Her home was your home. I hope at this point that your mom and my mom, Sadie, and your mom, Sharon, have kind of connected and are sometimes are looking over both of us and smiling. And yesterday was my mom's birthday, April 4th.
So, happy birthday to your mom. How old would Miss Sadie be?
She would be, well, she transitioned 30 years ago. She would be about 107 years old now.
Wow.
If she had lived. And I think she would have lived had she had not had so many issues with respiration and respiratory problems. She died from a massive bacterial infection that just stripped her whole immune system and affected her lungs predominantly. So, but yeah, there's a lot of alignment. There's a lot of alignment in our story.
This is my mom. This is Mama Shay.
She's
feisty, ornery, all the things, but she definitely, people tell me all the time now, like, oh my God, Portia, you look more and more like your mom every day. And my mom would have been 71 this year.
And I can see the resemblance. And when this airs on YouTube, everybody else will be able to see the resemblance too. One of the things you talked about specifically was your discovery of gratitude. And I know gratitude is a big, big part of the message that you have to those who are grieving. Why do you believe that cultivating this attribute is key to moving through grief?
Gratitude for me, Dave, I'll start when I started my gratitude practice. I started my gratitude practice in December of 2022. December 21, my sister bought me a gratitude journal. And you know, when you first start anything new, you're just jotting little things, right? I'm grateful for having food, water, shelter, little things. But then as I matured in my understanding of gratitude and doing this practice every day, I started to shift something in my brain. It was like seeing the adverse moments in my life really as a blessing because I learned something from it. It's kind of like the reason why the book of Proverbs is my favorite in the Bible. Because the book of Proverbs is really a book of gratitude because it tells you about different scenarios that you may encounter in your life for a reason, right? And you talk about wanting a guide for navigating, whether it's loss or, you know, feeling like you've been cheated in life or, you know, dealing with difficult people. The book of Proverbs has so many pieces of wisdom in that book, and how amazing that you have that. So for me, gratitude is acknowledging, number one, that you had this experience or this person in your life. Yeah, it hurts you. It hurts you to your core to let them go. But also the gratitude comes in to help you to appreciate what you learned from them, what you took from their time with you, and how you can apply it to your life. Because everything, it says in the book, The Game of Life by Florence Scovel Shinn, man is not your enemy. Man is not your friend, for man is your teacher. So when you adopt a mindset of gratitude, Dave, you're able to see everything as a benefit, everything. And then just like in this life, right, we make transitions in our life all the time, right? When we graduate from high school and go whether to college, trade school, or military, there's a grief that happens there, right? but there's also the gratitude of being able to have the opportunity to have options to make yourself better. So gratitude in my eyes is appreciating what is, being present with people, with experiences, and also taking inventory of what you've been able to cultivate and be a better version of yourself because you see everything as a teaching moment. You're not seeing it from the space of, why does this keep happening to me? You're seeing it from the perspective of, why not me? Like, I'm forever grateful for every person who has come into my life, from my parents, people that have, you know, that I've experienced friendship transitions with, whether we outgrew each other, because I learned something from them. Each person who comes into our life, they kind of engrave a piece of themselves onto us, right? So this is where the gratitude is, because I'm grateful to have known them. I'm grateful for their presence in my life. I'm grateful that they were the person who came to me because I needed them in that season of my life, right? Some people come for a season, other people come for a lifetime. But this is where gratitude really helps you, especially when you're grieving, because I think, Dave, what really gets me on social media now is there's a lot of people who, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of great people who are talking about grief. But to me, I think it's time that we look at grief from a more empowering place instead of the continued regurgitating, oh, it's sad, it's doom and gloom. Because when I did an interview with Lucy Oliver from Reprecision Health, she talked about how gratitude is like building a muscle, right? The more repetition that you use it, like every single day, over time, it helps you to be able to recognize, oh, I'm walking into a grief cycle. Or even simply put, let's say if you lose your job. Up, okay, I've lost my job. All right, I'm grateful for the skills that I've learned here. I'm grateful for the people who have come into my life from this experience. I'm grateful for being able to have this. And now I can take this and use it and apply it somewhere. So really, it's about reframing how you see loss. And I think that's why gratitude is so big for me, because I can find gratitude in any and everything. I just did a presentation with Mental Health First Aid back in March. And one of the things that I talked about was how I use gratitude. And I did a gratitude exercise with them. I have a gratitude wheel that I use every Saturday when I host my grief groups. And it's amazing the things that people come up with in their life that, you know, apply to the alphabets of, you know, for gratitude. Like, one of the letters that popped up was the letter F. So some people came up with funnel cakes, French fries, fun festivals. I took it a step further, Dave. I said, I'm grateful for flexibility, and I'm grateful for being fired at one point from one job, right? Because that firing, and maybe some people may look at that as like, well, what are you grateful for being fired? Because at one point I was not happy where I was. So that firing from that job was a blessing in disguise. It gave me the exit I needed because I wasn't going to move. So because my heart wanted something more, and the God of my understanding was like, oh, you want something more, but I don't see you're moving. I'm pushing you. Get boom, you know, you know. So that's why I'm so big on gratitude, because gratitude is the life jacket that can help you during seasons of grief to really reframe the way you are navigating your grief journey. Because at the end of the day, Dave, and I'm sure you can agree with this, you get to choose. You get to choose how you do your grief journey. Do you want to do your grief journey from a space of, oh, my person's gone, I don't want to live anymore? Or do you want to live your grief journey from a space of, you know what? Yeah, I'm sad that my person is gone. I'm sad that I won't be able to sit with them at the dinner table, and the empty chair syndrome is going to be around for a while. But how am I going to continue to honor them and keep going with my life? Because they don't want you to be stuck. They don't want you to build your own tomb on earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we do have a choice in terms of how we see the challenges that present to us. I mean, we can choose to do nothing with it and be victimized by what's happened, or we can empower ourselves to transcend it and find meaning as you said, embrace gratitude. And when you talked about losing your job, the first thing that came into my mind was one of the, I think the Buddhism tenets about impermanence, that there's blessings and gifts in impermanence, because when one door shuts, it forces us to look at other opportunities. So, and we can have the gratitude for the opportunity and the flexibility to look at other options that may present to us. And the other thing is, with gratitude, we realize that everything is in service to us, both positive and negative. And if we can reframe that, we can see the yin and the yang very clearly. We have to consciously intend to look for gratitude. We have to put that into our conscious mind every time we wake up, because we can get so caught in just the rat race of the day-to-day living, trying to keep up with obligations, with deadlines, that we forget to be grateful for what we have. And gratitude, for me, when I was asking the what if questions after Janine transitioned, and, you know, why did this have to be my family? Why was my family chosen for this? Didn't I live a good enough life in the eyes of God or the Creator to be spared this? And then after doing a lot of work and being around a lot of individuals who've helped me shift my perspective, I learned that life isn't always fair, and I'm not entitled to live the life of my dreams. Entitlement isn't about that. It's how I respond to the challenges. And I was grateful to be given the opportunity to do that. So my entitlement transformed from entitlement to gratitude. And that's where I'm at this point. I'm grateful for what I have as opposed to what I don't have.
And that's how I look at it, Dave, with every single, and even now, I mean, I think my grief journey, when I think back on what really sparked me into grief, was losing my dream job when I was a TV producer. That really put me into a state of grief that nobody really talks about. But as I started to write in my gratitude journal and appreciate what I learned from that time, it wasn't meant for me to stay there, right? I learned what I needed. I got what I got out of it. And I'm able to apply those skills in a different setting by, you know, producing my own shows and with other people. And so gratitude really is key. It's a good practice to have every day, because we're bombarded, right? We're flooded with all types of stimuli, whether it's, you know, somebody passing away. Like this week, I learned that the minister who I was going to go under to start minister training passed away. And so I was really kind of taken back for a minute, like, okay, you know what? I'm sad, and that's okay. But you know what? At the same time, I'm going to find gratitude in the fact that Pastor came into my life for a season. I learned a lot from him in that season, and I'll continue to honor what I learned from him as I go about my journey. And I know that the God of my understanding is going to continue to send me, you know, direct me in the right position, you know. And so when you think about gratitude, Dave, it's really about being present too. How many of us walk around just being absent because we're thinking about what we need to do tomorrow, next week, or, you know, in 3 months? Gratitude is really about being present, because you're cherishing the moment, right? Even when I'm having a rough day, sometimes I bring out my gratitude journal multiple times a day, or I take a gratitude walk. So I go for multiple walks a day with Mr. Fletcher, Dave. Mr. Fletcher and I go for about 8 or 9 walks a day. And some of those are my gratitude walks where I'm like, you know what? I'm grateful for this moment. Let me take a minute to just walk, change my ideas. But I'm grateful that I'm having this challenge. I'm grateful to be able to think about this a little differently. And that tends to really help me to work through the, you know, the angst and the anger, the anxiety. Like even earlier this morning, I had to do kind of like a breathing treatment, but I had to like really work my lungs because I could feel the grief trying to settle in my lungs again, you know, learning of the passing of my pastor and then also a friend from high school transition. So I'm like, you know what? Let's get some movement in here. I'm acknowledging that I'm sad. I'm acknowledging that I'm grateful for these people coming into my life for a short period of time. And I'm also going to still take care of myself in that moment, you know, and gratitude is simple. It really is. But you have to feel it. And that's why I said gratitude is really about being present. And it doesn't work overnight, right? Sometimes I don't want to write in my gratitude journal. Even if I write in it every day, sometimes I skip a day or two. And it's okay. But I know at the end of the day, when I'm hitting my head on that pillow at night, I say, thank you. Thank you.
And for me, as I get older, I wake up every day thanking the good Lord for giving me another day to do what I love doing, to be with the people that I love. And I don't take that for granted anymore. I'm grateful for every day that I get to step on this earth and just be with the people I love and hopefully be of service to those who need it. If you're going to leave our audience with one thing today, what would it be?
If I can leave your audience, Dave, with one thing, is number one, grant yourself permission to grieve in your own way. Don't follow what society tells you that you have to go through all these different stages. Start where you're at. If you're experiencing any type of loss or grief from whether it's the physical transition of someone, the friendship breakup, relationship, the childhood that you never had, give yourself that permission to grieve in your own way. The other thing, start a gratitude practice, right? You're grieving that loss. Write out all the things that you're grieving from that loss and find gratitude in that moment, in that period, right? If you experience the transition of a parent, of your mom, write out all the things that you're grieving about her. Maybe it's her amazing cooking or her keeping her foot up your butt like me or whatever it might be. And then write out what you're grateful for, what you learned from that person and honor it. Honor it. Feel it. But at the end of the day, you get to choose how you go about your grief journey.
Those are two very valuable takeaways that I think, regardless of the challenges that we are experiencing, and you mentioned other losses not related to death, those are just as significant and need to be as honored as much as loss related to death. Portia, my last question, how can people get in touch with you, find out more about the Grief Granter TV show, find out more about you?
So again, Dave, I extend my gratitude for you having me on. So if people want to connect with me, literally you can Google my name, Portia Booker. If you're on Instagram, I'm at Portia the Grief Grantor. My YouTube channel is the same, at Portia the Grief Grantor. I'm on Facebook and LinkedIn at Portia Booker, or just type in Portia the Producer. Literally, you can find me any and everywhere. You can find the Grief Grantor TV show. I posted on my Facebook, but you can go to e360tv.com. I'm under the Vitality TV network. And you can also watch it on my YouTube channel too, under the live tab. So keep up the conversations, embrace gratitude to evolve your grief.
And I can say, just from the guests that you've had on the Grief Grantor, you've got some very inspirational, transformational guests. And every one of them have left their mark on your audience. So you've done a great job getting a very diverse group of individuals with a transformational message. So, and I look forward to season two.
I do too. Season two will probably start back around September, I believe, is when season two will be coming on, and I'm excited. There's an exciting lineup for season two, so everybody stay tuned. Really, really exciting stuff.
I can't wait. So with that, Portia, thank you so much for being on the Teaching Journeys podcast today. It's been a pleasure having you on the program.
Thank you so much, Dave. Everybody, peace and hair grease. Thank you so much.
And with that is a wrap on another episode of the Teaching Journeys podcast. I'm your host, Dave Roberts, wishing you peace.